Who has the edge in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback competition? We talk about that and a lot more coming up next here on this episode of Locked On NFL.
You are Locked On NFL, your daily NFL podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into another episode of the Locked On NFL podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire. We're here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you so much for being here, making us your first listen each and every day on the show. We're free and available all podcasts and platforms, including in video form on YouTube. So you can be sure to subscribe in both audio and video for free. And today's episode of Locked On NFL is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook of the NFL. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/lockedon today to get started. We're back here, of course, bringing you the biggest stories each and every week throughout the NFL. And here today, we have a lot to dive into. We're going to first talk with David Harrison of Locked On Buccaneers about the quarterback battle in Tampa Bay. Obviously, Tom Brady no longer there. It's between Baker Mayfield, Kyle Trask. We'll get his insight on what that battle looks like right now. Then in the second part of the show, Lou DiBiase, Locked On Eagles, is going to join us to talk about Russell Wilson almost becoming a Philadelphia Eagle and just how different things would be if that were to happen. Obviously, Russell Wilson got traded to Denver and didn't work out for him last year, but I don't know, maybe it goes better for him. Philadelphia, meanwhile, went to the Super Bowl. Then in the final part of the show, I will take over and I will be talking to you about Lamar Jackson and whether he will have his best year of his NFL career, even beating this 2019 MVP season in 2023. So without any further ado, let's first dive into our first conversation with David Harrison of Locked On Buccaneers. Well, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they have a new quarterback situation as they figure out who their next guy is to take the helm. And here to talk about the early returns of that competition is David Harrison, one of the hosts over at Locked On Buccaneers. And David, I know there's been a lot of conversation about, is it Kyle Trask? Is it Baker Mayfield? Some not so great clips surfaced of the two of those guys throwing over the course of the past couple of weeks. So I know that was some negative attention, but based off everything you've seen and heard about this battle so far, who do you think has stood out and who do you think has the edge right now?
I mean, I think Baker Mayfield has the edge. You know, it's one of those things where I like that the Buccaneers, they seem to be genuinely kind of giving each guy, you know, reps with the first team and the best receivers on the field and all that stuff. And even having the best receivers on the field has been a little bit limited during the voluntary portion of the workouts. We'll see what happens with the mandatory mini camp and as we get into training camp. But really, you know, it's one of these situations that this coaching staff, for the most part, and to be fair, offensive coordinator Dave Canales is obviously new to the staff. So he hasn't been around with Kyle Trask since Kyle arrived to the franchise. But Todd Bowles has, and Jason Light has, and Bruce Arians has been there. And, you know, they've been able to see what Kyle is going to do. You know, we had PFF's Trevor Sikkema on the show last week to talk about this very thing, because Trevor used to be on the Buccaneers beat when he was before he was nationally famous, you know, done big things and grown up, so to speak. But he's also a Florida Gator. Like he's an alum. He's a fan. He's watched a lot of Kyle Trask football. And even he had to admit, like, he never really saw Kyle as this starting NFL quarterback type of guy. So he's really not really surprised. And when you look at just kind of the opportunities he's had to impress them on the practice field and the meeting rooms, all these things, if they felt like he could be the next starter, even the next year's starter, because, I mean, remember, Baker Mayfield's on a one-year contract. This isn't exactly a five-year deal that they're looking for kind of the quote unquote next era of Buccaneers football. You kind of feel like they would have let him come in as the incumbent. And when we look around the league, you see a team like the Washington Commanders, 1 year of Sam Howell as a fifth round draft pick, and they feel comfortable enough with a lot on the line, given their ownership situation, to say, okay, we're going to hand you the keys of the franchise and let you tell us if you're not ready to drive. Well, with Kyle, it's okay, we're going to kind of dangle the keys there, but we're going to bring another driver in who's already done a lot of driving around the NFL. So it's just kind of just the action itself kind of shows you what they think about Kyle right now. And, you know, again, there have been some negative clips out there. And of course, those are always going to draw attention, but there's been a lot of positive too, and a lot of deep ball passes, sideline placement and really good placement by both Baker and Kyle, to be completely fair, but that chemistry between Baker Mayfield and the receivers that have been present during the voluntary portion certainly seems to be growing.
Right. And I know that a lot has to do with the quarterback position in terms of how this offense actually looks and how it does throughout the course of the 2023 season, David. But yeah, what are you kind of expecting for this offense this year? I know with Tom Brady out, now you have a new guy coming in, but you still have Mike Evans there. You still have Chris Godwin there. There's still some talent. So what's your overall expectation right now for the offense?
Yeah, I think we're going to kind of see the Buccaneers offense kind of what you would expect to see just from the weapons that they have, right? They've got a really long physical type receiver in Mike Evans, who has kind of sneaky downfield ability that a lot of people don't really give him a lot of credit for. And then you've got the Chris Godwin type, who can really do a little bit at all levels. If Russell Gage can get and stay healthy, then he's got some versatility. But they also brought in some young guys. Trey Palmer is a rookie who's making a name for himself early on in OTAs. And, you know, I've got my own little reservations and concerns about young receivers. Let's wait until we see contact and let's see how they absorb NFL contact and react to that whole bit. But the early returns are looking good. And then you look at what they did in the tight end position, not just this year by adding Payne Durham, but even go back to last year, they've added some young, versatile pieces to the tight end room. So I really feel like this is an offense that is built to go with all what I call four levels, including the backfield, running back Rashad White. And you've got tunnel screens. You've got screens coming out of the backfield to the running back, but then all the way downfield, 60, 70 yards downfield, if you can give Baker Mayfield the time. And I think that's really where we're going to see how much Dave Canales can unlock his offense this season, is that rebuilt offensive line. Because while I'll sit here and tell you, I like a lot of the things they did to retool and replenish this offensive line, it's going to be night and day from last year to this year. Even if they had a healthy offensive line last year, that line looked completely different other than center Ryan Jensen, even with Tristan Wirfs, who's now flipping from right to left tackle. So that offensive line is the biggest question mark. And until you see them for the first time on a preseason field against a live opponent, you're really not going to know what to expect.
Yeah, and the saying is it all starts up front. So the offensive line is extremely important there. But David, I know we had the schedule release come out, the full schedule release a couple weeks ago. What'd you like and what you didn't from how the schedule ended up falling for Tampa Bay?
You know, I like the first four games of the season, right? And a lot of times we kind of, you know, the preseason is what the preseason is. We've lost a game in recent years and teams are kind of putting out, every team's got their own little, their own little triggers and what they're doing. The Cincinnati Bengals, you know, famously or infamously, like, didn't play Joe Burrow at all in live action during the preseason, and whether or not that hurt or helped them is up to debate. But I think for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, we have so many questions. You need, not only does the public have questions in national media, even the beat reporters have questions about what this team is really going to look like. The team internally, they've got to have some questions themselves. So when you look at their initial slate of games on the road against the Minnesota Vikings, a playoff team. Week three, they're at home for Monday Night Football against Philadelphia Eagles, obviously a playoff caliber team. And then week four, they're on the road against the New Orleans Saints, which I don't care which of these teams is up, which of these teams is down. That's always going to be a tough matchup. And oh, by the way, week two, you're at home against the Chicago Bears, who have done a lot to improve their defense. They've done a lot to help quarterback Justin Fields. So don't sleep on that either. Those first four games of the season, this team is going to come up against some really hard teams to play, some really physical teams on defense and offense that are going to really test the identity of the Buccaneers. And in that 4 weeks, I feel like if Todd Bowles and his quarterback, his coaches, coordinators, if they can stabilize this team, I don't really want, you know, 3-1, 1-3. The key in those first four games really for the Buccaneers is to figure out this is who we are and this is how we're going to play football the rest of the year. If you come out of week four and we're all sitting here going, we don't really know what this team is, that's a bigger problem, honestly, than even say 0-4. If you're 0-4, but you know who you are, then you know how to move forward and how you want to develop, because they got that early bye week. But if you come out of week four and you're still trying to find your identity, this thing might be sunk before we even leave the dock.
Yeah, and there's one last question I want to ask you, because you just brought up the identity part and I just thought of it right now. With Tom Brady, I think you had a lot of room for, well, some room for error, because you obviously have Brady and the experience. With the new guys coming in, with the new offensive coordinator and Dave Canales, how much margin for error does Tampa Bay have early on to figure out that identity?
You know, I think if you're talking about like season success, again, I don't think you have that much time. I think just with the competitiveness in the NFL, I mean, we know, right? Every team, every schedule is designed to go 500, and there's no 500 unless you at least get one tie. But, you know, that's really kind of how the NFL has designed their product, which is why they are, they have the most parity. They have, you know, they're the most entertaining pro sports league in our country. But if you're talking about this season success, you have to find that. Honestly, I would say Monday Night Football week three, even, like, if you don't come into Monday Night Football against the Eagles, who know who they are, like, they've got a lot of turnover, but they still know who they are. They know who they want to be and they know how they want to do this thing. If you don't come into that game at least knowing how you want to move forward, you're going to get embarrassed. Honestly, I think you're going to get embarrassed against the Philadelphia Eagles on national television. Everybody's going to be watching, laughing, doing the yucks, and all those things are going to start circling again. And that's, I think, where you can find a real big problem this season. Now, long term, you know, that's a conversation that we've been kind of having, is Todd Bowles on the hot seat? Are the Glazers really, you know, going to be that quick to kind of pull the rug out after you lose a quarterback like Tom Brady? I feel like the Glazers have a history of being pretty patient. I don't know that Todd Bowles needs to necessarily even make the playoffs this year to keep his job for next season. I think as long as they're competitive down the stretch, show potential, and the Glazers can look at the young parts of their roster and their offensive coordinator, Dave Canales, say, okay, look, we've got pieces building here. Let's go get more pieces and build on what we've done, stabilize the salary cap after the mess that we got into ourselves for leasing the Super Bowl championship, and basically just let that Super Bowl trophy keep you warm over in the next couple of cold seasons.
Huge shout out to David for talking post Tom Brady with Baker Mayfield, Kyle Trask, and of course Buccaneers talking. For more on David's work, be sure to check out the Locked On Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Coming up in the second part of the show, though, we'll be diving in to Louis DiBiase's Philadelphia Eagles talk from Locked On Eagles as we get into what if Russell Wilson became an Eagle. So be sure to stay tuned, a lot to get to on the show. But first, this episode is brought to you by FanDuel. Make a fast break to FanDuel during the NBA playoffs, because right now new customers get a no sweat first up to $2,500. That's $2,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. And we have the NBA Finals going on right now. My Denver Nuggets going up against the Miami Heat. And if you want to bet on Nikola Jokic props, Jimmy Butler props, just who's going to win the series, do it over at FanDuel. They have great promotions every day. They have a safe and secure app. You can get paid instantly. There's also a place to bet on all the playoff action on America's number one sportsbook. Visit FanDuel.com/lockedon to get a no sweat first bet up to $2,500. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. We're back here, our second segment of Locked On NFL here on Monday. Kevin Ostreicher, your host, still here with you again. Thank you so much for being here with us, making us your first listen each and every day. And now we're going to be diving into a what-if conversation with Lou DiBiase of Locked On Eagles. Is there are some reports that Russell Wilson could have been a Philadelphia Eagle if he was not traded to the Denver Broncos. So we'll get into that conversation with Louis now. Well, the Philadelphia Eagles saw Jalen Hurts lead their team last year to a Super Bowl berth, but it might not have even been him with the latest reports that have come out on Russell Wilson. Here to talk about that with me is Louis DiBiase, one of the hosts at Locked On Eagles. And Louis, it's crazy how much perspective you can have once something actually happens compared to what could have happened. And now we hear all these reports about, oh, well, Russell Wilson was almost an Eagle and could have been an Eagle. In that package, obviously, he goes to Denver for a haul of picks and players that probably would have included Jalen Hurts, would have included a couple firsts, a couple seconds. I mean, when you first saw this, you're probably saying, well, you know, thank your lucky stars it didn't happen because of how it ended up happening. But I think a lot of people do forget that before the year started last year, there weren't many people in, or at least all in, on Jalen Hurts completely.
100%. The best case scenario completely played out. But Kevin, to get that scenario to play out, you needed some luck. And you need luck in the NFL a lot of the time to be successful. And you're 100% correct. People forget because Jalen Hurts was so incredible this year. He took the MVP step that myself and a lot of people didn't think he could take. The Eagles were also skeptical if he could take that step. And that's why last offseason, yes, they 100% were trying to see if they could trade for Russell Wilson. It wasn't just Russell Wilson, but I think they felt around to see if maybe Deshaun Watson was available. We saw Pro Football Talk report that maybe they also were interested in Kyler Murray this past offseason. General manager Howie Roseman is obsessed with elite quarterback play. Jalen had a good 2021, but there were a lot of question marks, so he was trying to turn over every stone and see where he could find that franchise guy. And yeah, I mean, Jalen Hurts, they've always believed in him, but only to a certain degree, Kevin. Before this contract extension, before 2022, they thought a lot of other quarterbacks were probably going to end up being their franchise guy over Jalen. And we're lucky it turned out the way it did. And this trade didn't happen. And Russell Wilson said no.
And it's unbelievable because, again, the way that Hurts and his career kind of was trajected, you didn't really expect the jump that he made. Now he didn't. He was incredible. Exactly. But it was a bunch of the, you know, Wentz talk versus Hurts. Or when Hurts was picked, it wasn't very popular at the time in Philadelphia because people were still in love with Wentz. Now, obviously, that soured over the course of however long it did. But you kind of look at what they would have given up. And I kind of mentioned it. It would have been Hurts would have been a couple firsts, a couple seconds. So you probably lose out on Jordan Davis, one of Jalen Carter or Nolan Smith, a couple seconds in there too. I mean, what does this team look like today if Russell Wilson's on it?
Oh man. Yeah. It's a crazy different roster. And Kevin, they also got lucky that before they did trade for AJ Brown, their plan was trade for Russell Wilson, and we want to sign Allen Robinson in free agency. That was according to Adam Schefter, and then the Rams swooped in and stole Allen Robinson. So this team could have looked completely different last year. As you mentioned, they probably don't make the Saints trade, which was also with quarterback in mind for this class if Hurts didn't pan out in 2022. So they were thinking in that way, if they trade for Russell Wilson, they don't have that extra first-round pick in 2023. You don't get one of those Georgia Bulldogs. You probably don't trade up for Jordan Davis, as you mentioned. They might still have been able to get A.J. Brown because they had three first-round picks last year, and they probably would have, like Denver, packaged two of them from that class and then a couple future ones as well. But I mean, Noah Fant went over as well, so is Dallas Goedert a part of that kind of trade? Yeah, maybe Seattle right now in that other universe is the talk of the NFC, and they're the powerhouse with Jalen Hurts' new contract extension, throwing to DK Metcalf and, you know, Tyler Lockett. And the Eagles are I think Russell Wilson would have been a lot better in Philly than Denver, but they still probably would have been a 8-9 win team, similar to who they were in 2021, but definitely probably not a Super Bowl roster.
No, and it's crazy now because people, obviously with the year Russell Wilson had in Denver, which was not good whatsoever, the year that Hurts is now ranked at least, you know, top five quarterback right now. Wilson is ranked by a lot of people outside of that, which is really interesting because of the fact that you would have had Wilson, and if it was Allen Robinson, that was just the disaster class of both worlds at that position. I think he got the best of both worlds with A.J. Brown and with Jalen Hurts. So I'll ask you, Louie, about what you're expecting now with year two of Jalen Hurts, you know, hopefully in this MVP arc trajectory, yeah. And plus A.J. Brown there year two also.
Yeah, now Philadelphia is all in on Jalen Hurts. They gave him the giant contract extension. He was the MVP runner-up last year. One of the best performances in the Super Bowl from an individual player I have ever seen. Maybe the best ever in a loss. And so heading into year three as the guy, I think the ceiling's even higher, Kevin. I mean, he's going to be continuing to be an elite rushing quarterback. Last year, his pocket precision, his accuracy, everything was completely through the roof of what you thought the expectations were. But the Philadelphia Eagles believe he can be an even more precise anticipation passer with more experience, with continued, I should say, just continuity in the same kind of offensive scheme. A new offensive coordinator, but it was his quarterback coach from last year, Brian Johnson. Another year of chemistry with A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. I think the ceiling for him as a passer is only going to increase. And honestly, I think his passing numbers statistically are definitely going to go up. I think they're going to pass the football a lot more in 2023.
And I think that's great for him. I mean, obviously, you lose Miles Sanders. You're going with a bunch of guys. Maybe Kenneth Gainwell can step up in a role. But I think the way that the Eagles have built that offense, Hurts being able to take, again, another step as a passer would be so, so good for them. But, Louie, I know the schedule dropped a couple weeks ago for the Eagles in terms of when they're playing and who they're playing in those time slots. What'd you like and what you didn't like about that schedule?
Yeah, I mean, the bottom of the schedule is brutal. I mean, they have a six-game stretch where it's, you know, on the road to Kansas City, they got to play the Buffalo Bills, then San Francisco, Dallas, you know, a bunch of divisional matchups. It's really tough at the end, so they're going to have to be clicking on all cylinders in November and December, and the weather's different as well. Of course, I think Philadelphia's built for that, though, with a great line on both sides and the ability to run the football. But yeah, the NFL definitely didn't do them any favors stacking all of those tough games. Remember, the Eagles have the toughest strength of schedule in the NFL this year, and they pretty much put all those tough matchups in a 6-7 game stretch. But I will say, the beginning of the season looks pretty good. I mean, you start on the road against New England. You play a lot of teams that are, like, you know, you got Tampa Bay and Washington. So I think they could get out of the gate pretty fast. So I kind of like having an easier schedule to start because everybody's rusty, especially nowadays. You know, teams, especially the Eagles, don't go that hard in training camp. Starters barely play in the preseason. When you're rusty, I'd rather have those quote-unquote easier matchups and then give me the tougher matchups in the end when you're really clicking. So I think the beginning of the season, I like what the NFL did. The bottom half is tough. I would have liked a little bit more of a balance. But outside of that, though, you'll take it. This is a first-place schedule. This is just par for the course when you're a title contender.
Crazy to think about just how different the NFL could be if that Russell Wilson to the Eagles trade ended up going through, ended up happening. But I appreciate Louie for hopping on. For more on his work, be sure to check out the Locked On Eagles podcast. part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Coming up in the final part of the show, I'll be taking you home, talking Lamar Jackson, whether he could be gearing up for his best year yet as an NFL quarterback. So be sure to stay tuned for that. We'll be right back here on Locked On NFL. We return our final segment, Locked On NFL. Kevin Allstriker still here with you. Thank you so much for being here again and making us your first listen. You can subscribe for free, both in video form and in audio form. We do 5 days a week of NFL content here on the channel, so you can stay up to date on everything NFL here on Locked On NFL. But now we're going to be talking about Lamar Jackson. I am the Locked On Ravens host, and I was kind of thinking about just, you know, where this team is. The Ravens are in the midst of their OTAs. They've had a couple of sessions. Lamar Jackson is there. He did show up. And I want to talk about just how important it is for him that he is there. First of all, I think it is. Now, it wouldn't have been a make or break if he wasn't there. If he wasn't there, it's not going to make or break their Super Bowl chances, at least in my opinion. Some people are very, very passionate about the fact that he should be there. And I think, in my opinion, yeah, it would be awesome if he is there. He obviously is. But I think he could be potentially gearing up for his best season as an NFL quarterback, especially for a guy now that has the best cast of weapons around him that he's ever had. He's had Mark Andrews. They drafted Rashad Bateman. They drafted Marquise Brown before he got traded away. But the way this offense is built, and it's not just the personnel. We'll talk about the other aspects of this in a couple minutes. But the fact that now he has Odell Beckham Jr., still Bateman is there. They brought in Zay Flowers, still Devin Duvernay. They signed Nelson Aguilar. Mark Andrews, still there. Isaiah Likely, I think, is going to take on a much bigger role for them. Also, the fact that this offense now is being run by not Greg Roman. Greg Roman's offense, I think, you know, great early on. That 2019 team was incredible history all across the board for them, especially running the football. But Lamar Jackson had a very interesting comment about the way that he views running. He said, running is only going to take you so far. Running only takes you so far, which to an extent, I do agree with him on. Now, we know that the NFL as a whole has zigged, you know, that they've gone to this pass offense, you know, throwing the football all these times per game. The Ravens zagged in the opposite direction and said, you know what, we're going to run the ball 40 times a game. We're going to do the opposite of what the NFL is doing. And it worked for them. It's not like the Ravens have this terrible rushing offense, but the pass offense just didn't take the strides needed. It didn't feel like Greg Roman and Lamar Jackson were really on the same page in terms of trust. It didn't really feel like Lamar Jackson had as much trust as he should have in Greg Roman. I don't mean that in terms of, oh, well, he should have trusted Greg Roman more, because I'm saying that there should be more trust between a quarterback and an offensive coordinator at that point. I just don't think it was there. And I think that's unfortunate, because I think Lamar did deserve to have more say in that offense. And part of it was, you know, the Ravens, one terrible thing about Greg Roman's offense was that every play, it felt like the play clock, they get to the line with 3 seconds left. Lamar would have no time to kind of survey the field, figure out pre-snap. Well, is a guy coming off the edge? Are they bringing everybody? Is there a deep safety? They play in press, or they play in zone? What are they doing? Are they playing man? Those types of things are really important. And Lamar talked about the offense. Tom Monken's running the show now, and I think it's just going to be a much better offense overall. And Lamar talked about how he feels like he's getting the keys. And to me, that's one, a sense that he trusts this offense a bit more now than he did already in terms of the old offense. But the fact that he now can ID things and audible out of this, or send a guy in motion, or change a play at the line. Hopefully we're not going to see that, you know, play clock going 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. But that trust is super important. And Lamar is a quarterback. A couple of years ago, he was asked about, you know, oh, do you like running or throwing more? And he said throwing. And everyone's like, what do you mean? You're so good at running. And I'm thinking, I'm like, what do you mean? What do you mean? He's a quarterback. He loves throwing the football. And it should be what he likes doing more. I mean, I'm not shocked whatsoever. And he's good at it too. I don't think Greg Roman's offense fully was able to showcase what Lamar is as a passer. In some ways it did, in other ways it didn't. And I think the Ravens are going to throw the football a lot more this year, and they're more equipped to do it. This isn't an offense like Greg Roman's anymore, where the passing offense quite clearly ran through the tight ends, wide receivers. The thing with wide receivers in the Ravens over the past couple of years is everyone's talking about, oh, you know, wide receivers, they hate going to Baltimore. No one goes there. And everyone's, you know, blaming Lamar for it. And I'm saying, this is not Lamar's fault. People want to play with Lamar. Juju Smith-Schuster on Michael Irvin's podcast 2 or 3 years ago, you know, was talking about the teams that he was deciding between. This is when he went back to Pittsburgh. It was Pittsburgh, Kansas City, and Baltimore. He ended up going to Kansas City the next year. But he talked about how, you know, loves Lamar, loves playing with Lamar, but the offense, you know, the idea of playing with Lamar is great, but the offense, you know, just wasn't what he was looking for. And it made sense. Receivers who want to, you know, it takes a certain type of receiver to want to play in that type of offense. If Greg Roman was the offensive coordinator, I don't think Odell would have come to Baltimore. It would have been a lot harder for them. They would have to draft their guys. And I think Rashad Bateman has a ton of potential, but that would have been the route they had to take. Now, with Lamar, you're able to, I think, open up the offense a lot. While not completely abandoning the run, it's not going to be an offense where all of a sudden they just stop running the football, and that's never what they do. I still think they are going to run the football a decent amount, but it's not going to be like when they, you know, they always ranked in the top three least pass offenses where they're not throwing the football a ton. They in 2021, they had the 10th most pass attempts because their whole running back room got injured before the year started, and they really had no other options. They had to throw the football that year, but it was, you know, they were 32nd in pass attempts, 31st, 30th. We're not going to see. I think Baltimore will be in pass attempts at least in the top half of the league, if not more than that. But the rushing offense will still be a part. It's about balance, and it's about the diversity of an offense in terms of how you can keep defenses on their toes. And I think Baltimore now has the personnel, has the coaching staff. They made a bunch of other changes to the coaching staff as well. So Lamar Jackson could have his best year. And best year means a lot of different things. Lamar threw 36 touchdown passes in 2019, that MVP season. Even if he doesn't surpass that, that doesn't mean that he's going to have that. That's not his best year. Efficiency can go up. Red zone percentages, you know, the red zone offense in Baltimore was terrible, was atrocious last year. Those percentages can go up. The offense can score a bunch more. And again, if Lamar doesn't have the most pass, I think he will have the most passing yards he's ever had in his career this year. And honestly, maybe the most passing touchdowns, maybe he can get to 40. I don't know. But even if he doesn't do that, there are other areas where he can still have his best year, and that can outweigh some of those things. So I'm excited for the Ravens offense this year. I'm excited for the shift and the change we're going to have. And I think Baltimore is really well equipped, especially on paper. Now, it takes more than on paper. You got to translate it to the field. But once they get this offense installed, once everybody's on the same page, we can see something really cool in Baltimore moving forward here. But that's all I have for you here today on Locked On NFL. Thank you so much for tuning in. And if you want more on my work, be sure to check out the Locked On Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. When we get back here tomorrow, more NFL content from your Tuesday host. So be sure to stay tuned for that. I'll see you right back here tomorrow.